A warm welcome now to Linda Yu, fellow in economics at St. Edmund Hall, Oxford University, and adjunct professor at LBS, the London Business School. Linda, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you, Linda? You know, I'm so happy to talk to you because I love to get the perspective from across the pond, right? And in the issue of trade, I think it's particularly instructive to look at the UK example because they were one of the first trade deals struck. Is there any sense right now of buyer's remorse in the UK of not having waited to strike a deal with Trump, given how embroiled the tariff situation has become in the courts here in the United States?
I think they were just happy to be first in the queue, as they say. The UK really is instructive because they negotiated a reduction of the 25% tariffs that were on steel and aluminum, and that was supposed to go down to zero. And they also negotiated a reduction from 25% on cars down to 10%. But what they hadn't done was put in a timeline for when that would take effect. And that agreement actually, this gives you no confidence. Actually, the text says it's not legally binding. So that means there's still a lot of negotiations to be had. So today, literally, there is an urgent negotiation between the UK and the US Trade Representative's Office. They're doing this on the sidelines in Paris at the OECD, that's the think tank for major economies, and they're trying to agree the time frame before tomorrow, which is when the 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum and cars are going to double to 50%. So you can see the sense of urgency. They struck a deal. It's supposed to have gone down, but they never agreed as to when. And now there's a lot of uncertainty for a lot of car companies and steel companies in the UK about whether or not tomorrow they're going to be facing 50%. And hopefully, I think they would think, fingers crossed, the time frame might be agreed. But what you have seen is European steel company stocks begin to fall, and then also a delay in shipping cars from the UK, because if you ship it now, you're going to be subject to 25%. You think if you wait until it's been implemented, it'll be 10%. But now you're really going to hold off, because if you ship it tomorrow, it's going to be subject to a 50% tax on what you're selling. So companies like Jaguar Land Rover, Aston Martin, they are slowing their shipments. My guess is right now there's probably quite a few really nice cars sitting in the middle of the Atlantic waiting to find out what's going on.
I think this is so illustrative of the impact of uncertainty in these trade wars, and why the OECD lowered its forecast for economic growth globally this year. I mean, what is the hope here, right? And what if the United States is curtailed more significantly by the court? I mean, some of these sectoral tariffs, like on steel and autos and so forth, are likely to survive challenges. But who knows if a upcoming administration, for example, may retain the tariffs? How are countries dealing with this uncertainty emanating from the United States longer term?
Yeah, I think longer term, I think that's where the OECD forecasts that just came out are so worth a look, because what they're forecasting is going to happen this year and next year. And they downgraded global growth because of all the uncertainty, what I just described about car companies, waiting to ship. That means that they don't produce as much, they're not going to hire as many people. Consumers are also going to have they're going to have less choice. So the downgrade of global growth to just below 3%, it's not a recession, but it certainly is very similar to what we've seen from other organizations who are concerned that looking ahead, certainly we will see tariffs causing uncertainty over the next 3 years or so. But possibly the impact on distorting supply chains and others could have a longer-term impact. And I think part of the assumptions that these organizations are basing their forecasts on are that the very nature of these tariffs and the different legal bases mean that it's very likely the Trump administration will find a different legal basis for imposing tariffs. So as you rightly say, steel, cars, they come under what's called Section 232, which is around national security. This is not currently under challenge by the trade International Trade Court in the U.S. and by a district court. So these cases are not obviously being appealed. However, the 10% baseline tariffs, those are the ones that are being severely challenged. And those, if they're not applied under the current legislation, there's at least two, if not more, other legal bases that the president can use to impose tariffs. It's a delegated power, but it's quite a broad delegated power. And then just to make it even more uncertain, there's now Section 232. So this basis, which is not currently under court challenge, is going to be applied to semiconductors, pharmaceuticals. So there's other sectors which could be subject to a 25% or 50% tariff, depending on those investigations. So I think we're going to be expecting tariffs coming from some legal bases for some time to come.
As a professor of economics and business, did you expect in your lifetime to see this sort of retrocession of global trade? It seems like just 10 years ago, we were talking about, you know, living in this new, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, we were talking about living in this new paradigm of globalization. And that seems to have taken a big turn backward.
Yeah, not only have I been observing this, as you know, because you've kindly asked me about my books before, I've written two economic history books, which look back 250 years. And this is a pretty unusual period where tariffs are used freely. I mean, tariffs are taxes in order to, and I think at the moment, not just tax trade, but investment restrictions, which question where something is, where money is coming from. So, you know, for instance, President Trump says he doesn't want Chinese cars coming from Mexico. That's a fundamental challenge to global supply chains, because if a foreign investor produces in Mexico, you consider that to be a Mexican export. So between tariffs, investment restrictions, and I think using that to push forward negotiations, this is a pretty unusual time, historically speaking. And I would also say, I think part of the frustration with the current trade system is that it is very slow. So, and trade is very unfair in lots of ways. And so I think, as with everything, you know, there is a reason, I think, for a very broad brush, rough approach. But, you know, if you impose tariffs, there's going to be a cost. And I think we're all paying for that at the moment.
Professor Yu, thank you so much, as always, for your brilliant insights. Where can we follow your work?
Oh, thank you so much, Jan. It's always a pleasure. You can find me at Linda Yu, LindaYueh, on social media or on my website, www.lindayu.com.
And that's Professor Linda Yu, fellow in economics at St. Edmund Hall, Oxford University, and adjunct professor at London Business School. It has been an honor.